I'd like you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew in the chapter 2. We thank the young ladies for reading God's Word tonight. First of all, from Matthew chapter 1, where we have the angel announcing the birth of Christ. And then we move into chapter 2, where a little time later we have the wise men who come to visit the infant Christ. If I was to select a verse of Scripture, I would turn your attention to verse 11. I want to speak on the wise men tonight. I want to speak particularly about their faith, the amazing faith of the wise men. Verse 11 says, "When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." The faith, the amazing faith of the wise man. We're living in a world that is filled with unbelief. This really is the age of materialism, the age of self-centeredness, of worldly care and earthly ambition. Men live for themselves, and they have little or no thought of a God. If I was to ask you tonight, when's the last time that you sat down and you thought about God? You thought about God seriously. Who God is. Who Jesus Christ his Son is. What he came to do. I wonder what your answer would be. When was the last time you really, sincerely contemplated God? Here's what Jesus said about the spirit of the last times on earth. He said that men would be eating and drinking and giving in marriage. The experts tell us that that's more than just life going on as normal. That is normal life, eating, drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. The experts tell us that it's really pointing to an age, a gluttonous age of eating, a drunken age of drinking, and an age of immorality, where men and women are marrying and giving in marriage. They're going into one marriage and out of that marriage into another marriage. It's an age of immorality. Paul spoke of the last times. He spoke about those that were lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. He talked about those who worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. And Peter also in the New Testament, he foretold of scoffers in these last days, walking after their own lusts. This is the day in which we live. There are no doubt signs that point very clearly that we're living in the last days. In fact, I believe we're living in the last of the last days, when men have forgotten God. And they do not believe in Him. They do not believe in God. They do not believe in His Word. They do not believe in His commandments, for they break them every day. They do not believe in righteous judgment, that there's coming a day when they will stand before God. They do not believe in the miracles that we read about in the Bible. You speak about creation. And let's remember, what's being taught in school is a theory. It's not scientific at all. True science is something that has been observed. It's been calculated. It's been seen. It's been put down. When you hear about evolution, it's a theory. It's the ideology of man. So when you speak about creation, that God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth and everything that we see around us, men do not believe in creation. They do not believe in the flood. That there was a time when God destroyed the old world with a universal flood. They do not believe that He rained fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. Or that Korah and his household were swallowed up alive into the very pit of hell. They do not believe these miracles that took place in the Bible. They do not believe in the miracles of Christ. And they do not believe in the person of our Savior. When you talk to them about Christ and His deity, that He is God manifested in the flesh. When you speak about His sinless character, that Jesus never sinned in His life. When you talk about His eternal existence, that Jesus never had a beginning, will never have an end. And when you speak about His virgin birth, men will deny all these truths because we're living in the age of unbelief. And here's what the Bible has to say about unbelief. It's a very important verse, in fact, one of the most important that we have in all the Bible. Let me read it to you, Revelation 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God tells us very clearly that those who die in unbelief, that they will have their part in this fearful place that is called the lake of fire, the second death. It is unbelief, therefore, that damns souls forever in a Christless eternity. Men fail to believe in God. They fail to believe in Jesus Christ, His Son. They fail to believe in the cross work, the redeeming cross work of Calvary. They fail to believe that one day their sin is going to be punished. They fail to believe that they need a Savior, that they need a covering for their sin. And so they die in their sin and they're lost forever. But there are those who come to see their need and to feel their sin, to flee from the wrath to come, and to trust the Savior. The Bible tells us about many great men and women who came to trust in the Lord. In fact, there's one particular chapter that is devoted to men of faith. And there we have chronicled the great heroes of Old Testament Scripture. Men who believed God, from Abel through Noah, Abraham, and many like such that lived in Old Testament days. They were men and women who believed God. And we read about many in the New Testament and, of course, in church history. I want to direct your attention to these nameless men of Matthew chapter 2, who exercised, in my opinion, amazing faith in Jesus Christ. They came to trust in Him when He was just an infant child. And this is worthy of our consideration. I find it most challenging. I'm referring, of course, to the wise men who came from the east. Only Matthew tells us about this story. No other gospel writer informs us of this history. We hear nothing more about them in the rest of the Bible. They were Gentiles. They were men of learning and wisdom. They were men of wealth and reputation. They were men who went to great lengths to seek Jesus, the infant child. Their faith in Him is outstanding and worthy of our consideration tonight. And the challenge is this. As we think of these wise men from the east who came to visit Christ when He was but an infant child, here's the challenge. What about you and me tonight? What about you that are sitting in this church building? Have you believed in Christ? Have you trusted in Him as Savior? Have you sought Him diligently like these wise men did? The amazing faith of the wise men. I want you to notice that they believed God when they had never seen. Isn't that what faith is? You haven't seen it, but you believe it. The opening chapter of that great chapter of faith, Hebrews chapter 11, says this, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's a little summary of what faith is. These wise men believed in Jesus Christ, though up until this point, until the day they met Him, they had not seen Him. Jesus was not long born. Just about a year or so before the wise men came. These men had never set eyes on Him. They were led by providence to Jerusalem to ask for Christ. They came to Jerusalem, the capital city, the joy of the whole earth, the city of David, for they were assuming in their hearts that this is where the king would be born, the king of the Jews. And then they were redirected, as you know, to Bethlehem. The scriptures had pointed to the fact that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. But here's the point. They had never seen Him, and yet they believed in Him. Faith drove them on in their diligent search until they found Him. There were those who did see Christ in the flesh. When you go on to read in the New Testament, the history of the Savior, especially when He came to maturity and started His earthly ministry, multitudes of people did see Him in the flesh. They heard Him preach. They listened to His sermons. They watched His mighty miracles. They witnessed His deeds of mercy and love. They looked into His kind and His lovely face. They beheld the sufferings of Christ. And even many that day stood around Calvary and they watched Jesus die. The death of deaths, when He became the substitute and the Savior of men in His death and His crucifixion. But they did not believe. Even though they saw Him. Even though they witnessed the miracles. Even though they listened to Him preach. Even though they watched Him die. They refused Him as Savior. They rejected Him. And they scorned Him. But these wise men believed. Without seeing. And that's a little bit like us today. Only I believe their faith was greater, as we shall go on to see tonight. Because we have the full record of divine truth. We have all the Bible. We have the account. Everything that God wants us to know concerning the earthly ministry, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's all in the book that God has given. By faith we look back upon Him. We look back to that day when He came into the world to be our Savior. We look back upon what He did. Yes, these physical eyes have not seen Him. But for many in this church building tonight, the eye of faith has beheld Christ. We have seen Him by faith. We have come to trust in Him. And there is a special blessing for us that the Bible speaks about. For the Word of God tells us, blessed are they which have not seen and yet they believe. Do you believe tonight? You haven't seen Christ physically. But by faith, you've laid hold upon Him. You see Him by faith tonight, just like these wise men. The second little point as I thought about these men is they believed and they set off on a long journey. Now we don't know who these wise men were. Their names are not given in the scriptures. How many of them, we do not know. Sometimes you see in Christmas cards and maybe nativity scenes three wise men. Well, the Bible doesn't speak about three wise men. It speaks about the wise men. Sometimes people say there were three because there were three gifts. Again, the experts believe there was probably around a dozen of these wise men who came from the east. We don't know how many. We're not exactly sure where they came from, just from the east. So it may have been Arabia, it may have been Chaldea. We're not sure, but it was that part of the world, the eastern part. Did they learn to expect Christ from the 10 tribes that had gone into captivity? Is that how they got to hear about the Messiah that was coming into the world? Or was it through Daniel's prophecies when Daniel was there in Babylon and he prophesied about the Lord Jesus Christ? We don't know. I suppose these things are not really important. Anyhow, if God wanted us to know about them, He would have told us in His Word. We know that they came from a distance to find Christ. It was a long journey, a tedious, wearisome journey across deserts and blistering sun and cold nights. It was a journey that took a considerable time. And of course, we know nothing about that kind of travel in our country, in this modern day in which we live. These men took a long journey in the conditions when they didn't have air conditioning. They traveled probably on camels across the deserts. But they came seeking the blessed Son of God who was born as a king. They set their hearts on seeing Him. And they believed in Him. They never rested until they saw Him. It was Bishop J.C. Ryle who said, their history on earth may be as little known as that of Melchizedek and Jethro and Job, but their names are in the book of life. And they will be found with Christ in the day of His appearing. And that's all that matters. It doesn't matter who we are in society. It doesn't matter how affluent we are or how common we might be in the eyes of man. It doesn't matter what color we are or creed or what class of society we come from. All that matters at the end of the day is that we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. That we have sought Him earnestly, diligently, thoughtfully, like these wise men did. What pains have you taken to seek the Lord? What pains have you taken to find out more about this wonderful Savior? Have you taken any? Have you ever set your heart upon finding Christ? These men did. Oh, the faith of the wise men. They believed. And they set off on a long journey. They also believed in the third place when religious men did not. Now you would think that the religious hierarchy of that day would have been among the first to visit Christ when He was born.
even at the slightest rumor that the Messiah had come, that Jesus had been born, you would have expected these religious men to have hastened to Bethlehem and to have been among the first who went to visit the infant Christ. After all, Jesus was long promised in the Old Testament by the prophets. He was awaited for. He was the expectation of the Jews. He was well announced. There were people who should have known better. The religious men, like the scribes and the Pharisees, the lawyers who interpreted the law of God, the doctors of divinity of that time, they had the oracles of God. They knew the Bible. They were expert in the prophecies of God's word. They understood what the Lord had to say about the Messiah who would come into the world. The virgin birth was foretold in the Old Testament. The place of his birth, the humble background that Jesus came from. It was all there in the Old Testament scriptures. People like Nicodemus, and I just pick out his name, he comes on the scene 30 years later. But people like Nicodemus, who were leaders of the Jews, who were in prominent positions, they should have recognized who Christ was, especially when the Lord began his earthly ministry. Nicodemus, you remember, was called a master in Israel. And you read it in the Greek, it's actually the master. Remember Jesus asked him that when Nicodemus was failing to understand what was going on and who Jesus was. He said, "Are you not the master? You're not the expert, Nicodemus. You're not the one that ought to know. You're a mighty teacher in Israel. You should know." That's what the Lord was saying to him. And yet Nicodemus was in darkness until the Lord shone the light in and Nicodemus came to the Savior. There were many people of that rank and standing, Jews who were masters of theology, experts in the scripture, and they should have believed. But alas, he came unto his own and his own received him not. There are people today who should know better, isn't that right? Those that have been brought up in Christian homes, those who live next door to gospel preaching churches, those who have had the privilege of Sunday school, who have sat in gospel meetings, attended missions, those that have been told the gospel by faithful family members and friends, they ought to know better. Some of you that are sitting in this meeting tonight, you're experts when it comes to your knowledge of the Bible. You know the scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. You have been catechized. You have been well brought up in the things of God. You've got a Bible in your home. Maybe more than one. If it's like many a house in Northern Ireland where children attend Sunday school and children's meetings, there's many a Bible in your home. You have a praying mother. You have a dear friend who's a Christian and concerned about you. You've even felt, some of you have felt the convictions of the Holy Spirit in your life, but still you're not saved. Still you're not trusting in the Lord as your Redeemer. There may be a knowledge of the truth in your head, but no grace of God in your heart. And that's a very sad thing. The wise man will rise up in the day of judgment and will testify against you. These men came from a strange land. They didn't have the privileges that you have. And they came to believe in Christ, and still you refuse. You know, Sodom's going to rise up one day in judgment against you. The heathen in darkest Africa are going to rise up one day in judgment against you. Because they didn't know. They didn't have a Bible. But you do. They believed when religious men did not. Fourthly, they believed when sinful men sought to destroy Jesus. Of course, sinful men are seeking to do the same today. They want to destroy Christianity. They tear in pieces anything that has to do with Christ and salvation. They try to get rid of him in whatever way possible. Is that you tonight in this meeting? Read about a man in this passage of scripture called Herod. Herod was filled with envy and rage. You read the story. He felt threatened. He heard the rumor that the King of the Jews was born. And when he heard that rumor, he thought his position was under threat. He was troubled, the Bible says, and all Israel with him. He was afraid of losing his kingdom. And so he tried to have Jesus murdered in a most cruel act of genocide. History pages are forever etched with this grievous story of infant massacre, because Herod ordered that all children 2 and under in the region of Bethlehem be put to death, hoping that Jesus would be among them. He became known as Herod the Great, not in his lifetime, but afterwards the name was given to him. But truly the only thing that he was great in was his wickedness, when we think of what he did. The lives of the wise men were in danger, but they believed. Even though Herod, this sinful man, this wicked man, was seeking to destroy Jesus, and probably would have destroyed the wise men when he found out that they had not come back to the palace to tell him where Jesus was, yet these men believed. And then lastly, as we think of the faith of the wise men, they believed and they fell down and worshipped him, even though Jesus was but an infant. Can you imagine that act of faith? They followed the star to Bethlehem, came to the house, not the stable. Little time has passed by, we understand. Jesus is about 1 year old. Came to the place where the Lord was staying. And they went in to that house and they found the infant Christ of about 1 year. And they fell down and worshipped him as the king. He was just a small child sitting on Mary's knee, and yet they believed. And I put it to you tonight, that took great faith. Someone has said this was the crowning point of their faith. They saw no miracles to convince them. They heard no teaching or preaching to persuade them. They beheld no signs and wonders to satisfy their curiosity. They saw nothing but an infant child, helpless and weak and needing a mother's care, like any one of us. And yet when their eyes fell upon that little one, they believed that they saw the divine Savior of the world, and they fell down and they worshipped him. Perhaps there is not an example better than this of great faith to be found in all the Bible. The wise men saw a little infant on the lap of a poor woman, and yet worshipped him and confessed that he was the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. What about you tonight in this meeting? You have the Bible. You have the record that God has given. You have an account of the entire life and the ministry of God's Son. You have the revelation of God. It has been preached unto you many, many times. There's hundreds of things that you know that the wise men never knew. You've got light. You've got knowledge. You've got understanding. You have privileges that these men never had. You know not only about his birth, but you know about his ministry, because you've read about it in the Bible. You know about the miracles of Christ. You know about the parables of Christ. You know about the preaching of Christ. You know about the warnings of the Bible that warn you to flee from the wrath to come. You know about the crucifixion and the death of God's blessed Son when he was crucified there upon the cross of Calvary to take away our sins. You know about the resurrection of Christ, that he's a living Savior tonight. You know that he's coming again. Jesus is coming again. Came the first time as a babe, lived as a man to put away our sin. He's coming the second time. He's not coming to put away sin. That's been done once and for all at the cross of Calvary. He's coming in judgment. The Bible said he's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and believe not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, you know these things, and yet still you refuse to believe. You're in your sin. And one day you're going to die in your sin. And what then? How will it be? How will you fare in the day of death? When you go out into eternity and you meet a holy and a righteous God, and you meet a Savior that you rejected, you meet a God that you trampled underfoot his laws and his commandments and you had nothing to do with, you believe not, you see. Do not remain careless and unbelieving. Remember what I said at the beginning? What God says about the unbeliever?
having his part in the lake of fire, which is the second death. That's the eternity for those who die in their sin. What should I do, preacher? You need to do what Paul and Silas told the jailer to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe who he is. Believe what he came to do. Believe that yonder there upon the cross of Calvary, Jesus died to take away our sin. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That word behold means to look to him. That look is a look of faith. A look that believes in him. That Jesus is who he says he is. That he is the Savior of men. It is to receive him into your life and into your heart as your Redeemer. To take away your sin. That's what you need to do tonight. May you be challenged by the faith of the wise men who knew so little but believed so much. My friend, you know so much, and yet for some you believe so little. May you come to put your faith and trust in him as your Savior.